So how was your Saturday? So we had church on Thursday, we had church on Friday, and Saturday we rested at the Tyson house, sort of. So tweaked my sermon a little bit. I watched a little bit of golf, and I worked on my honey-do list, which I can never really quite seem to get to the bottom of. Can you imagine what the Saturday was like for the first disciples? That Saturday after the crucifixion and before Easter? I mean, we live on this side of Easter. We know that the tomb is empty. But can you imagine what the first disciples felt like on that first Saturday after the crucifixion? I'm sure that they had this terrible knot in their gut. And they had that feeling like you have, like maybe when somebody broke up with you in high school and broke your heart and you were not going to get to see them anymore, or maybe that you had to see them, or maybe that feeling that we have when we realize that our loved ones are no longer on this earth. And there's sadness, right? And then there had to be some fear in the hearts of the disciples. But because I can only imagine that they were thinking, well, they came for Jesus, might they come for me? I think just the slightest little noise outside the door probably got their hearts going, thinking that these folks who had come for Jesus had now come for them. Imagine how they must have felt that Saturday after no more Jesus. I mean, there had to be a part of them that were thinking, this has been a monumental waste of my time. Clearly, this guy was not the Messiah. There's been no rescue from the Romans. I wasted 2 years of my life following this guy around. But then, Easter came. And God did something that was so unexpected. Mary goes to the tomb expecting to anoint a body, only to find it gone, empty. Our text today, it comes from the Gospel of John. It's the 20th chapter, verses 1 through 18. So hear these words from the Gospel writer of John. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and he believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping. She saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. Then she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God for the people of God. So I love this story of all the stories of the empty tomb. This is probably one of my favorites because it's got so much detail. I mean, there's lots of information in this particular story, enough for several sermons. But don't worry, I'm not going to dump the whole load on you all at once. But this story is interesting. It has interesting information. So Mary goes to the tomb expecting to see one thing, and finds another. She runs to tell Peter, and we learn that John is faster than Peter, right? The disciple whom Jesus loved is believed to be John, and so John outruns Peter to the tomb, so we know who's faster. But John doesn't go in. Peter goes in. And we get the detail about the wrappings, and then John goes in, and we read that he saw and he believed. And then we see that the disciples go home, which I think is just weird that they just go home. I don't know exactly what that means. Do they go home and tell the other disciples? I don't know. But we just know that Mary is left there. And Mary begins to weep because the body of Jesus is gone. And she sees these angels. And then all of a sudden, she sees Jesus, whom she doesn't recognize. And y'all, I think that's weird. She's followed this guy around all over the Middle East. She knows what he looks like. She knows how he walks. She knows how he stands. She knows his voice. And yet, she's looking right at Jesus and doesn't recognize him. Some interesting information for us. And then Jesus goes on to say, don't touch me, I've not yet ascended. That's a whole sermon to talk about, which we won't do today. One thing is for sure, that the horrible, terrible, scary, confusing Saturday became an awesome Sunday. It became a celebration. For the tomb was empty. In verse 8, we read that the other disciple who reached the tomb first went in and he saw and he believed. Verse 9 tells us that they didn't yet understand what Jesus had meant by he had to actually rise from the dead. John saw and believed without understanding. So one of my questions for you today is, how does your need to understand inhibit your faith? How does your need to understand how all of this hang together, how does that affect your faith? It's not necessary to understand to believe. I mean, this was driven home for me when I was 15. I'd grown up in church. I was active in youth. I'd been confirmed. But I was struggling to put together this idea of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I mean, I was really struggling with the idea of the Trinity, but specifically Father and Son. And how is Jesus both human and divine all at the same time? I didn't understand it. And I wanted to understand it. And so I went on this mission trip with my church, and as so often happens on mission trips, which is why we want you to go on them, I had an encounter with God, and I recognized that I didn't have to understand how all of this works. I just had to believe. I had to believe in Jesus. I had to put my faith in him. And the all how this all works wasn't so important. I mean, how many of you know exactly how the internet works? Some of us may. I certainly don't. But you see it, right? You use it. You can do your Google search. You get your emails. You play on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, and stuff just happens, right? You have no clue how it works. Or how about the Bernoulli effect? That's what keeps your airplane in the air. Do you understand how an airplane actually flies? But you get on them, and you use the internet, right? For some of us, this need to understand can actually be a stumbling block. Maybe you engineers out there perhaps struggle a little bit with not understanding the how. You know, I think about driving down the road, especially in the hill country. You're coming over a hill, right? Do you ever have a thought in your head that there's not a road on the other side of that hill? No, you don't. You know that the road is on the other side of the hill even though you can't see it. And yet, we sometimes feel like God has abandoned us. We sometimes feel like God is just so far away from us, that God is not here. We may find ourselves in that moment like Jesus did on the cross, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? It seems to me that we actually have more trust in the creation of our own hands than in the hands of the Creator. God is with you wherever you go. God never leaves you alone. We can believe without fully understanding. I mean, think about what you are trying to do just when you try to talk about God. God is so big. He is literally indescribable. The only thing we have to talk about God is human vocabulary. And I will tell you, brothers and sisters, we're getting about this much of it right. Because we are limited by our ability to understand, to think about it, and talk about it. Do not let your need to understand how it works keep you from believing. Do not let that be a stumbling block in your walk of faith. John believed without understanding. Second thing that stands out to me in this text is this idea that Mary did not recognize Jesus. I've already shared with you, at least in my mind, sort of the absurdity of the idea that she did not recognize him. She knew his voice, she knew how he walked and talked, and yet she did not recognize him. Now, scholars will tell you it's perhaps because she had tears in her eyes and couldn't see so well. And that may, in fact, be the case. But I happen to think she didn't recognize Jesus because she didn't expect to see a living Jesus. She just assumed it was the gardener because it couldn't be a living, breathing Jesus. It was not what she expected. I think that our own expectations can keep us from seeing Jesus in the face of others. It can keep us from seeing Jesus in the face of our children because it's not expected. It can prevent us from seeing Jesus in the actions of others because we're not expecting it. I mean, the lesson for me is that we need to walk around with this expectation that I am going to encounter Jesus everywhere I go. That way you might recognize him. Don't let your expectations shape your ability to recognize Jesus in whatever form Jesus may show up. Tears or no tears, expect to encounter Jesus wherever you go. Let me remind you that your God does the unpredictable. So Jesus could show up anywhere. I mean, not one person in the universe saw the resurrection of Jesus coming, except Jesus himself. No one saw it coming. Your God does things that are amazing and unpredictable. What is predictable is his love for you. God did an unexpected thing in the resurrection of Jesus. In the empty tomb, God defeated death and gave to us a victory over sin and death. But let me be clear to you all. It is the resurrection that gives all the previous work of Jesus its power. Without the resurrection, Jesus is just another wannabe Messiah hanging on a cross. It is the resurrection that gives power to all of his teachings, to all of his healings, to every part of his ministry. The resurrection proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is the one, the Messiah, the Christ, the King of Kings, the one who has come to provide salvation to the world. It is through the resurrection of Jesus that we have victory over death and sin. It is the power of the resurrection that gives us resurrection. It is the power of the resurrection that we can be forgiven of our sin. It is through the power of the resurrection that the entire of humanity has access to salvation and grace. As a kid, I played a lot of sports. Some of them were official, like Little League or Pop Warner football, but a lot of it was like in the front yards or in the schoolyard. And we had this thing, I'm sure y'all remember it. Y'all remember do-overs? I love that. Oh, well, I was out. No, you were safe. No, do-over. Because of the power of the resurrection, you have a do-over every single day. We are forgiven of our sin every single day. Because of the power of the resurrection, you get a do-over. Now, some of you might be thinking, not me. I've done something really horrible, really terrible, and God can't forgive me because it was just so bad. Well, I gotta ask you, what makes your sin so special that God can't forgive it? Scripture is clear. You can be forgiven for your sins. There's a kind of period, a hard stop there. Forgiveness is yours. It comes to you through the power of the resurrection. Don't let your inability to understand how all of this works, to be a stumbling block for you. You can believe and not understand. Salvation is at hand for every one of us, and it comes to us through the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Don't let that pass you by. Do-overs are a unique opportunity for followers of Jesus. It's the power of the resurrection that resurrects you. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty God, we confess we don't have a clue how you work, but we want to believe. We want to believe that Jesus is the one, that Jesus' death and resurrection redeems us in your eyes. Help us to believe where we struggle. Help us to understand that salvation is at hand. And it comes to us because the tomb is empty, and that he lives. He lives in each one of us. He lives, and so we also live. For that grace, that so amazing grace, we give you thanks and praise. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.